Welcome to Other People's Shoes. This season, we're exploring what it means to be unmade. Life can sometimes feel like an unmade bed. Messy, chaotic, and overwhelming. But here's the beauty. Every unmade bed has the potential to be remade. In season 20, we're sharing powerful stories of people who face their life's chaos head on and found the courage to rebuild, turning their messes into masterpieces. Just like starting your day with a simple act of making your bed, these stories remind us that small steps can lead to extraordinary transformations. So put on your shoes and take the first step toward remaking your own life. You're about to be inspired, challenged, and encouraged in ways you never expected. This is Other People's Shoes, Season 20. Unmade. And now, here's your host, Neil Matthews.
Yes! Another great edition of Other People's Shoes has just hit your earbuds. And perhaps your stereo speakers. You know, our guest today invited, well, I invited her in. Let's say what it is, right? I invited her in. Somehow, some way in our booking process, somehow, some way, somebody dropped the ball. And here's how. Well, let me take you on a fun-filled step-back journey. Many years ago now, actually roughly 2016, so it's been a minute, we went to this little town called Las Vegas. And while we were there, my wife and my two friends, Gary and Twyla, took part in a UNC Kentucky game. And I'll never forget this till the day I die. Truly, it was amazing. One, the game was amazing. By the way, UK won by, sorry, 1 point, maybe two. Last second, three, really heartbreaking. The guy came out at halftime and he said, listen, UK fans, Tar Heel fans, I know something you both have in common. And the whole place, relatively quiet for a basketball arena. And he said, you both hate Christian Laettner. And the whole place, I kid you not, erupted. So maybe we do have that in common with our guests today. We both have it maybe a loathing for all things Christian Laettner. There is this thing they say, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. So clearly I broke that rule. Maybe she could help us with some other problems that happen in Vegas, not that she's in Vegas. A lot of people get married in Vegas and sometimes those marriages don't last because that little white church also leads to little white divorces. Help me welcome in my new friend, Christy. Christy, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
I like to tell a story at the beginning to kind of set the table or set the stage. Here we are. Now this is the year that we're breathing and we're looking out for joy. So
sounds good. Yeah, I'm ready.
So help us with this. I love to lead every show truly with this question. And that's this. What style of shoes might we find Christy wearing?
Yeah, if I had my way, I would wear my Nikes every day.
Why Nikes? I mean, they have this amazing slogan, just do it. Is that why? Or is there other reasons maybe why you're Nikes?
No, I actually don't think they're the most comfortable or best shoes out there. I love the way they look. And I have a special pair right now that's black and off-white and just really makes a fashion statement. And I know that's what you're most concerned with most days too, right?
Boy, you've maybe have listened to other shows. So recently, within the last like 6 months or so, I bought my first ever pair of cowboy boots. And this is the wacky part. I went with my best friend, Nick. So two dudes shopping for boots together. That already invites criticism, I feel like, and invites so many other are you okay, Neil, moments. And so now, because they're leather boots, I've been having to wear them a lot to break them in. Otherwise, if I wore them like I do other shoes, like swap them out every day, I wouldn't break them in and they would take longer to adjust. Friends who know me are like, what? Cowboy boots? Are you feeling okay? Like, is everything okay? Are you in a safe space, Niels? I can relate a little bit with the Nikes. After 45 years, I thought it's time to maybe embrace the country roots, the Oregon origins. What do you say to that? I know in Kentucky, they have a fair amount of boots, I would imagine.
I lived in Kansas for quite some time. Now, Kansas and Oklahoma, that's a boot-wearing place. And I went to Texas two summers ago and went to a rodeo. Now, they wear some boots and some hats there. We had a ball. We went around thrifting and we all bought some cowboy boots. And you can get them cheap there because, you know, everybody's got them.
My boots, I don't want to say how much they were. Let's just say I could buy a pair of Jordans with them. That'll just give you some perspective on price. Yeah. Cried almost. And my buddy's like, that's a good pair. And if you are wondering at home, they're brown with a hint of light blue. So I'm just saying, somehow we found him with a hint of light blue. I don't know how that happened. I actually didn't pick them out. He did. Onward and upward we go. Chrissy, help us with this. I'm sort of on this cloud nine, lovey-dovey week. We have the Passion Week that we had back in April with Jesus going to the cross. And that to me is always a great week, a very somber, but a good week. The other week that always gets me excited is the week when August 18th rolls around. And that's because that is my wedding anniversary. And somehow, some way, this girl who I met at 17, when I asked her out, she didn't say yes, by the way. She said sure, like she had nothing else going on. Sure, I'll might as well. Yeah, that seems like a good idea. And now, fast forward, we've been married 24 years. When I asked her to marry me, guess what? She also said sure. And I didn't think that was funny. I was expecting a yes. Mm-hmm. Like most guys, when you ask, you expect the yes. Mm-hmm. Our story is she said, sure. Why not? Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and I said, really? Sure. Are you sure? And she goes, well, yes, of course I am. And I was like, oh, there it is. Okay. All right. There it is. I feel like I'm a pretty good husband. I have a sneaking hunch suspicion you're going to squash my dreams. Are you a dream squasher, Christy? Help me with that.
Hey, listen, I only coach women. I squash women's dreams, not men's, okay?
Let me be candid. People have said for years that I have enough feelings for both my wife and I combined.
Oh.
So I'm not going to say my wife's a dude because she's not. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. She's the love of my life. She is more introverted in her feelings. She is very reserved even in her feelings. Mm-hmm. I'm like, hey, what you see is what you get. If I like you, you're going to know it. If I don't, you're probably going to know that too. So I'm a little more vocal, as you might have already gathered. Mm-hmm. I'm a little more spoken, a little more outspoken, a little more louder, a little more gregarious. I know you don't normally work with men, so we're going to maybe make an exception today, perhaps. But help me maybe help our guy listeners and maybe even our gal listeners have that better marriage. Let's face it. Hallmark called you. I've heard this. They called you the other day and asked how you have this amazing marriage and they're going to do a movie after your marriage. That's what I heard. So squash that maybe already.
Sounds like a great idea. What I'm hearing from you is you've got some unrealistic or unmet expectations with your wife where you have these responses that you're expecting from her and she's just not living up to those. So maybe we should talk about your underlying resentment.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Underlining resentment? No. No. The queen, she's the queen of the house even. She's the queen of the house every day. Like I expect the queen of the house to be in the house. I keep saying clean for some reason. I don't know why. Clean, queen, they sound similar.
Yeah. Well, I would love to do a Hallmark movie about my marriage. And I think it would be quite interesting. And I think people would enjoy watching that. We just celebrated our 31st anniversary, which is tricky because I've always said that I was 25. And now I've been married 31 years and we have a 25-year-old daughter. So things are getting complicated over here.
That fuzzy math that Dave Ramsey talks about, I feel like, you know, in this situation, for sure. Grew up in a house. My dad was a Marine, so he was defending our country, rarely home. My mom was a preschool director, childcare person. So she was gone taking care of other people's kids at center type situations. When they did come home, their marriage didn't seem, again, Hallmarky, didn't seem Disney movie princess. It wasn't these things that I saw on TV. It wasn't the Huxtables things I saw on TV because, again, as a child, I'm watching this and then mirroring it with my parents. I'm like, well, that picture doesn't make sense. This is like Picasso's painting. Like, it doesn't jive. November of 97 specifically, my dad told my mom he wanted to separate and they wouldn't get divorced till 10 years later. And I don't want that in my marriage. We don't joke. We don't tease. We don't make fun of. We don't even talk divorce in our house. Is there a way to really divorce proof my marriage so I can see 50 years of being married and make sure that I can get to that milestone? Because I do feel like it's a milestone event.
Yeah. Wow. I can really relate to your story, Neil. And I think most of us didn't grow up with a great example of the perfect, beautiful marriage. And then guess what? We went through all of our years of education and there was never a class on how to be successful in relationships or how to do love well or how to be happily married. So it's really not been offered to us. And that's why I think what I do as a coach is so important. I actually teach women 6 intimacy skills to make their marriage peaceful and playful and passionate and those things. But I can really relate to you because I suffered the same thing. My senior year of high school, which when could be worse, is when my dad came home and asked for a divorce. And I really had seen a beautiful marriage to that point. My parents got along well. They enjoyed each other. Now they had different interests. The affection was there and the kindness and the love. I had some good pieces. That was an earthquake that shook my life, put me into a position where I let everybody know I will never get married. That was my 17-year-old self. I will never get married. Why would I do that? So that after 20 years and 2 kids, he can just up and leave me for another woman? No way. It was very traumatic. And I think that's why I've always been passionate about marriage and family, because I don't want to see anybody go through what I went through. I, like you, have overcome that, obviously, and I met my husband and I trusted God enough to marry him. I have worked steadily throughout these 31 years to keep it alive and not just stay married. I really wanted to thrive in marriage. And I think it sounds like that's where you're coming from as well.
Back in November of last year, my wife and I were going through some ministry stuff at church and going through a prayer time of, is this right? Is this wrong? My wife came home and said, hey, I want to go to this marriage retreat called Weekend to Remember.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that sounds awful. I would rather have any creepy crawly thing you can think of, scorpion, spider, crawl on me, or maybe even be buried alive, then go to this Weekend to Remember. We went. I was not excited. You know, I walked away from that Weekend to Remember really excited again in my marriage. You think of a fireplace and the fire starts to die down, and then you throw a piece of wood on there and it kind of sparks again and it kind of starts raging again. And then you're like, oh, there's the fire. There's the excitement. That's what it felt like. You can really share some ideas with people on how to do that. I know you only work primarily with women, can probably work both ways.
I love it. We have so much in common. We actually did the Weekend to Remember.
And I didn't even know that.
I know. My husband's been a good sport and he's done lots of things like that with me. He knows there's always that little bit of fear back there. I just want to stay fresh. Like you said, keep throwing logs on the fire. Listen, and this is what I tell the women I work with. There's a reason that you got married. You saw something in her and she saw something in you. And those two people are still alive and well. They've gotten buried underneath the responsibilities and the housework and the job and the bills and the kids and all the things. So we really need to get back to that. I really like to rewind the clock back to that, because you know what? One of the main skills that I talk to women about is relinquishing control. And maybe you can understand this. When my husband and I were dating, I didn't tell him how to drive. I didn't say, oh, park over here, go this way, it's faster. You're driving too fast. I didn't control him in that way. I didn't tell him how to dress. When he showed up for a date, he was wearing what he was wearing and I thought he was so cute. I didn't tell him how to handle his work. I didn't know much about his work. I trusted him that he knew how to handle his work. Over the years, as we were married more and more, I started doing those things. I started micromanaging him. I started trying to have a say about everything, an opinion about everything. And you know what happened? He started to withdraw and he started to maybe move away from me rather than towards me. Maybe I didn't feel so safe anymore. He knew if he brought a situation from work home to me that I was going to say, well, why did you handle it that way? You should have done X, Y, Z. That's one of the things that I think happens in a marriage. Now, that's really on the female side. That's one of the tendencies that we women tend to lean into. I don't know what the male, maybe you can say, what's the male side of that? Is that maybe because you guys don't say, hey, I don't like it when you do that. Maybe you can't put your finger on what it is that we're doing. You just know that, not fun to talk to her. I'm going to go down to the basement, play video games, or I'm going to go out with the guys and play golf, or I'm going to stay longer at work. There's lots of things that happen.
Well, the hard part is I can't articulate my feelings. I'm kind of an anomaly. So for me, it's flipped. I feel like I struggle with her saying what she's feeling because I can usually pinpoint what I'm feeling. Now, are they real feelings? Are they right feelings? Are they rational feelings? That's up to interpretation. I have a tendency of over talking. I know this is going to shock some. They're like, yeah, this is absolutely true, Neil. You are an over talker. But I have that tendency of trying to over talk her rather than listen more. So my wife even made the comment one time, which stung like a bee sting so bad. She said, you know, you're really great at listening on your show. She didn't use the word suck, but it was interpreted as that. You really suck at listening in real life. How am I listening to her? And I think that's a skill a lot of guys, even as verbal as I am, I think that is a skill most guys and most people truly will make it a now people, they don't have. Do you feel like listening is an element of intimacy?
For sure. Yes, for sure. And yeah, I think that a lot of wives would complain that when they do talk to their husband's trying to solve the problem and they really just wanted him to listen. So are you open to a different way of doing things? Can I share something with you?
Chrissy, that's why we have you here. Come on, let's do this.
All right, let's go. Okay, I'm going to give you a cheat phrase to use when your wife is talking. And I'm even going to challenge you to do this tonight, okay? To sit down, to have a conversation.
Oh, tonight? Can we do it like next week? I feel like next week's so much better.
It's very simple, I promise you. Three words is all I need you to remember. I hear you, okay? You're not agreeing with her. You're not disagreeing with her. You're just witnessing what she's sharing with you. I hear you. And let her go on. And you can nod your head. And you can even make little noises like, But you're going to allow her to go for as long as she wants to go. And just be a witness.
I hear you. Yeah.
You're looking like
I'm just trying to learn fast. Am I a quick student? I'm a quick study. I hear what you're saying.
You look like I just tied you up and am threatening to waterboard you. That's the impression.
I wish people could see that. That must be the sight to see. I wish I could see that back. We got that down. What else you got?
Would you be willing to experiment with that?
Of course. Yes, absolutely. Everything you're saying, I'm going to do. Nice. This is gospel truth. Like I said, nice. Christy is ready to deliver. We're ready for the change. This is the moment that everything changes for us. We're going to do it in a second because that's how change happens.
Yeah. Okay. Well, tell me about this one. One of the main things that I do with my female clients, especially right off the bat, is talk to them about self-care. Typically, men are pretty good at self-care. And let me explain to you what I mean, because a lot of Christians kind of shy away from self-care. They think it's selfish and self-absorbed, and they also think it's expensive. When I say self-care, they think I mean $1,000 day at the spa, and that's not at all what I mean. What I mean when I say self-care is that you and I are going to take 100% responsibility for our own happiness. I'm not going to wait for my husband to do things to make me happy. You're not going to wait for your wife. I'm going to do things each day just for my own joy. That might be reading a chapter in a fun book. It might be listening to a podcast. It might be going out for coffee. It might be calling my best friend, whatever brings you joy. My experience is that miserable people don't have happy relationships. Happy people do. So it's my job to show up to my marriage, to my household, to my children, happy. It's nobody's job to do that for me. And guess what? Everybody likes me better when I'm happy. And I can do that for myself. What do you think? Are you good at keeping yourself happy?
I could work on that. And I love what you're saying, by the way, of the self-care thing. It is a malformation in the Christian faith or the believer's faith or the disciple of Jesus's faith. Call it the evangelical faith. I could get better at that. My self-care is typically isolation. So my way of being happy is I'll come record a podcast episode, or I'll work on my show, or I'll edit the show, or cyberstalk somebody to be the next guest, i.e. Christy, perhaps. That's my enjoyment. Or I might sit down and watch a basketball game. I might enjoy going out and hanging out with one of my buddies, sit and stare at each other because one of my buddies doesn't talk really well. My idea of excitement, but I love what you're saying, that it doesn't depend on her. By the way, my wife's name is Elizabeth. It doesn't depend on Elizabeth to make me happy. Uh-huh. It depends upon me. As far as it depends upon me, I'm going to make myself happy, not rely on her.
Yeah. And it's like they tell you on the airplane, put on your own oxygen mask first, so that you can help other people. If I'm miserable and my cup is empty, I have nothing to give or to share with anybody. I used to think that when my hormones or my mood or whatever happened, and I would feel myself turning grumpy, and I would think, well, there it is, I'm just grumpy. And I just felt helpless. There's nothing I can do. Once I realized that this self-care was completely in my control, I made a list of things that I enjoy doing. And so now when I feel that mood coming on, I go to my list and I look. I go, what do I have time for? Some of the things on my list take 5 minutes. Some of them take an hour. Some of them are free. Some of them cost money. We need to have a variety. I just would encourage the listener to make a list. Maybe it's on your phone, maybe it's out, and it'll take time to put that together. But once you have it, now you're empowered. You don't have to sink into that mood that can come across each one of us. You can take charge of it and say, I'm going to handle this.
I like the idea of being able to self-analyze, self-discovery in some respects, to say, okay, hey, I know what this is going to lead to if I don't get a handle on it and grab a hold of it and let those feelings lead me in a wrong direction of maybe more moodiness or more lashing out or more anger, what that may lead to. One of my favorite lines in a song says that your feelings can give wrong directions. And I'm like, oh, I love that, because my feelings can do that sometimes. And it sounds like maybe yours as well.
Okay, well, let's talk about gratitude. I think that before I learned these skills, I think that I was pretty stingy with my gratitude. It is so interesting. It can be for women, I don't know about for men, that we want more. I really think that I had my husband in a position where he felt like, it's never going to be enough. Is this woman ever going to be happy? Is she ever going to be satisfied? Oh, it's so heartbreaking. And it's not an intimacy grower. It's a separation thing. All of us like to be acknowledged for what we're contributing, whether it's taking the trash out, whether it's picking up one of the kids from school, whether it's changing the laundry from washer to dryer. Now I show up with gratitude. And if I start to feel resentful about something, I say, drop and give me 10. And it's not 10 push-ups, it's 10 gratitudes. I have this amazing husband who does so many great things. Sometimes I can get into that position where I'm focused on the one missing piece. What we focus on grows. And so if I focus on that thing he does that I hate, or that thing he's not doing that I would like for him to do, I can work myself into misery. Meanwhile, all this beautiful stuff is going on over here and I'm missing it because I'm looking the wrong way. So I really want to show up with gratitude. Can I tell you something I did? I love to write on my bathroom mirror with a dry erase marker. It wipes right off. So at the top of my husband's side of the mirror, I wrote, I love you because. And every morning when I woke up, I would add something else on there. It really stretched me to focus on all the good stuff and to come up with something new each day. It really blessed him. He felt seen and appreciated and acknowledged. And then guess what? Our kids would come in and out of the bathroom and they get to see mom and dad love each other. It's a model for them to follow, like you and I talked about earlier, that maybe we didn't have. I want to model this. I want to live out loud, and I want my kids to grow up and say, I want that. Marriage is not popular among young people today. If you watch the movies and TV, you can see that the happy ending in the movies now is not marriage, and it used to be. I don't like that. I want marriage to be what God created it to be, beautiful, and what a privilege that we get to have it. I want my kids to grow up thinking That's the deal. To find a wife is to find a good thing.
Okay. This is transparency moment. My birthday was in March. My wife said, what do you want for your birthday? I don't really know. I don't really need anything. And she said, was it because you've already bought what you want? Or are you going to tell me what you want me to buy you? And then that's the present. When the holiday's coming up like Christmas and you manipulate people into getting what you want rather than allowing somebody the opportunity to, one, bless you. It's not like you're hard to shop for, babe. You're really easy to shop for. Let me just be honest. You think you're hard. You think you're like this a Rubik's Cube that people have to try to solve to buy you a present. It's not that difficult to buy for you. And she said, I think it's because you're not going to be satisfied, there's your word, with what somebody would pick. Mm-hmm. You're such a control freak. You're like, I... So even back further, this last Christmas, we built a new home. And so we celebrated our first Christmas in our new home. My wife and I both agreed that we weren't going to get presents for each other. We just said, not this year. We're just not going to do it. Somehow she let it slip that she got me a very small present. She did give me a present. And so I was like, I'm going to one up that. Uh-huh. So I got her a present because I was like, I don't want to come Christmas Day. Right. Bought her and my daughter matching necklaces. My daughter has her birthstone in June. And then my wife's, I actually got my birthstone for my wife in March that she would wear as a necklace. She hands me the present that she got me, the very small, very inexpensive present. And I said, what is this? And she said, well, just open it. And I said, oh, okay. And I open it. I kind of shake out the little box and there's a little velvet bag in there. And it's a ring bag, you know, and out shakes. And you can see it now on the camera here. A light blue wedding band. And I started to weep. And she said, why are you getting emotional about it? And I said, well, I didn't even know I wanted this. How did you know I wanted it? And she said, well, you know, you've been saying you wanted a new ring and your ring's kind of faded. And I just thought it was perfect because, you know, you wear light blue anyway all the time. It just seemed to fit. And I said, yeah, it does. And it's silicone. So, you know, it's going to last. If you roll it over on the inside, like flip it inside out, there's an inscription.
Oh.
I said, no way. And she said, yeah. She said, I had to think of something really small. You don't have a lot of space. Yeah. And I said, yeah, no, I get it. And she said, look at it. And I said, okay. And I read it and it says 831. When I had a pager back in high school, I didn't sell drugs, but I just thought I was hot stuff, cool guy on campus with a pager.
Right? Yeah.
Late 90s. Well, you couldn't do a lot on it. I found on the internet in the early days of the internet, Netscape Navigator, these pager codes that you could send to people and they meant things. Well, 831 has always meant for us 8 letters, 3 words meant for one person. And that's how you break down I love you, right? Because it has 8 letters, it's 3 words, and it should really be meant for one person only. Marriage, you really should say I love you to that one person. I am just like, are you kidding me right now? And she goes, got you. To realize for the first time in a long time, she took the time. She didn't tell me. She didn't ask me. Mm-hmm. Here's the 7 things I might want. No, she did it all on her own. And guess what? She nailed it.
Yeah.
A lack of control that I still was like, well, you know, I wish you would have gotten, or I wish I would have had. Or, what do you do in that moment? So I'm the opposite. I'm the one that's never satisfied. I'm the one always buying new stuff. I've never found a pair of shoes typically that I haven't wanted to buy, especially if they have a Jumpman logo on them. I'm that guy. That's me. She's the opposite. She never wants to buy anything for herself. Mm. If we go to the store, you know, I'm the one that can find 5 things in the store. She's not. Well, I mean, I might buy this dress, but I'll put it back. I'm probably not going to wear it. That's her. Me, I'm like the materialistic diva, if you will. So, anyway, I don't know how you can help with that. But there you go, Christy. I vomited on you for a second.
Oh, my goodness. I absolutely love that story. Oh, my goodness. So romantic. I hear that you have a wife who adores you and who thinks about you a lot.
I hope so. I just don't know why still.
Yeah, it's amazing.
24 years now.
Shocking, even. Yeah, no.
Some would say that, right? Absolutely. Shockingly, even. Yes. After 24 years, she still sort of likes me. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. I love it so much. And she knows you and she knows what you would want. I think, too, that you really led into another skill that I love to share. I didn't know it was a skill and I didn't know that I was doing it wrong. I had a lot of blind spots. One of the skills is to receive graciously. And I wasn't good at that. When we were newly married, my husband would give me flowers all the time for no reason. Of course, I was doing the budget and the finances. I'm worried about money. I'm thinking, oh, we could use this money in all these different ways. So eventually, I, without knowing it, discouraged my husband from buying flowers for me. And then what happens later is that the wife starts to resent that she's not getting flowers anymore. It was a blind spot for me. I learned, and other gifts that he would give me that I would say, I thought since we were married, the closest relationship two people could have, that I could be completely open and honest with him. And that meant saying whatever was on my mind. But what I found out is that I still need to use my manners. I still need to treat him like a human being with feelings who tried. I had to learn to say thank you with a smile, no matter what the gift was, and see it as an opportunity to have something different than what I would pick out. And isn't that wonderful? Right after I started practicing these skills, my husband gives me a new purse for Mother's Day. I remember looking at it. First of all, I knew it was expensive, which gives me a little ugh. And secondly, it definitely was not one that I would have chosen. I'm learning the skills. I'm trying to be a good wife. So I say, thank you so much. That was so thoughtful of you. I move my stuff over and pack it up. And I want you to know that I have gotten more compliments on that bag than any other bag that I've carried. And it became my favorite purse. And I thought, I've been missing out on so many opportunities to just receive graciously, try new things. Praise the Lord, it wasn't what I would have picked out. That's the whole purpose of the gift, is to get something out of the ordinary. I find that women can mess up in that area. And it's not only about gifts, it's about help. It's about compliments. When your husband, ladies, tells you, you look beautiful tonight, don't say, oh my gosh, I need to wash my hair and this outfit is old. Say thank you and receive it. When he offers to help you carry the groceries in, don't say, oh, I've got it, because you want to prove that you're this independent woman who can do things. Of course you are. Of course you're capable. But he wants to show up and be your hero and bless you. Receive that.
Well, it sounds like what you're describing is the five love languages.
Oh,
that's what it sounds like to me. For those who've been around maybe a little bit, you know, there's the acts of service, it's the gifts, it's the words of affirmation, it's the quality time. I'm forgetting one, I feel like.
Physical touch.
Physical touch. There it is. Thank you. And that's what it feels like you're describing to me. I worked at Macy's. It's one of the many jobs I've had. Mm-hmm. And I thought I was doing the most amazing thing ever. I went to the girls in the women's department that I was friends with at work. And I was like, listen, ladies, I want to find a black dress for my wife.
Yeah.
And they're like, we got you.
Yeah.
And they did. And I took it home. It was from her birthday. And she unwrapped that. And I'm just like a kid in the candy store. Cannot wait to see her face. Can't wait to decide on which candy I'm going to get. And I was just so elated and so just giddy. And she was like, this is hideous. It's the worst. What made you think about buying this? I was like, I'm not doing that. Oh. She thought it was a joke, actually.
Oh.
And so I've learned through the years, there's certain things I won't buy. I won't buy clothes. And I probably, your husband's brave, by the way. So high five to him. I would probably never even buy a purse. I don't even know what you would want. I don't even know what looks. Yeah, like I don't know the functionality. Like I'm just not there. I did buy clothes another time. I tried to redeem myself. I'm a big Tar Heels fan, as you might have already discovered and looked around and saw. I bought her a North Carolina Tar Heels ladies gym shirt, and she only wears it to bed. That's it. She won't wear it in public. She will not wear it in public.
Oh.
To me, the most exciting part about marriage for me is learning more every day of her likes, mm-hmm. her dislikes, and learning about her more.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the great privilege, and I know others are not maybe in the same time that I've had. I've known my wife when she was that young lady. She was younger than we are now at 45 and 44. I've known her a while. Every day I try really hard to learn something new, or learn something fascinating about her, or learn a new nuance to her. The curiosity should drive you in marriage to learn that spouse mm-hmm. better, whether it be male or female.
Yeah.
What do you think on that? Is that a good mindset, bad mindset to have, or is that just poppycock mm-hmm. and we need to just throw that out and forget that?
No, I love it. I love it. What I hear is curiosity and continuing to learn, because we're not staying the same. We're growing and changing and evolving. And I'm so happy to hear that. Yeah. And that should be both ways. And that is when we're good listeners and we're interested and we're dreaming together and having these talks and things. And it's beautiful. Like I said before, sometimes those great deep conversations have stopped because we haven't been able to say, I hear you. And we've jumped in and said, well, that's a ridiculous idea. We could never do that instead. And so we need to be allowed to dream wild dreams together. My husband is a big dreamer. And in the beginning of our marriage, I would say, well, we can't do that. That wasn't the way I was raised. I wasn't used to it. Boy, did I learn that when he dreams, he makes them happen. It gives me a lot of admiration and respect for him, which is definitely an aphrodisiac in marriage, is that respect and admiration of, I can't wait to hear what you have to say about this. I love that.
We've talked about a lot of positive things, I feel like. But let's face it, like we joked, not every marriage is Hallmark. Not every marriage is Disney. Not every marriage is the fairy tale. If somebody right now is maybe listening who is not maybe in a great season of marriage, maybe they are, like Weekend to Remember, they openly said there are people there that may be on the verge of filing for a divorce. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're even a separated person right now in their marriage. And they're like, listen, he is or she is and was, past tense maybe, the love of my life. And I know there's some amazing books out there. The Love Dare book is probably one of my favorite books. I did that to my wife because we hit our fair share of, you know, Valley of the Shadow of Death, Psalm 23. Like, it was dark. It was scary. It was, thankfully, God led us back together. It was tottering on the D word and maybe even the separation word. If somebody is of faith, I think it makes the reconciliation a little easier. Sometimes not even then, because we lose track of that. Help others if they are maybe, again, tottering on that. They just don't know what to do next. Is there some counsel that you would have?
Oh, gosh. I just want to say to those people that it's never too late. In my coaching practice, I have seen marriages come back from the brink of death and even remarry after the divorce. I tell the ladies that come to me, if you don't have the hope right now, you can borrow mine. I know that it's possible to revive this thing. It's never too late. It's worth saving. You and I both know, and we started off the conversation by talking about how neither one of us is perfect. So I can trade my husband in and I can go find some other Joe. And guess what? He's got his own set of problems. And the second marriage thing is no picnic. Whatever the problems were in the first, double them. So this is worth it. That person that you fall in love with is still in there. Let's dig him out and let's dig her out and get back to that place. The thing I want to say is that marriage is a lot like a dance. And we get into this dance routine that we've done over the years. You do this, she does that. And it just feels very natural. And it can be difficult to break that and start fresh. And so that's one of the things that happens when women come to me for coaching and I give them specific strategies and skills to do that shake up that dance. And what happens is it's amazing how the other person responds differently. When I show up differently, my husband responds to me differently. We all mirror one another in conversation, in relationship. A woman is very influential in her home. She really sets the tone. You've heard it said, if a mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. But when mom is happy, everybody's happy. So women can really have a big impact on the flavor of their marriage. And one of the things, in my opinion, that poisons a good marriage is resentment. So we've got to do battle against the resentment, and it can be done. It really can be done. When you feel that resentment or those resentful thoughts coming up in your mind, those are the ones that the Lord is telling us, take those captive. Do not allow those to simmer around in your brain like a crock pot. No, make a conscious decision to change those thoughts And I can help women to do that. And it makes a huge difference.
I've been involved in some weddings a time or two. I've officiated some. I've DJed a ton. Weddings I've been to in some form or fashion. 1 Corinthians 13 comes up. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is enduring. Love is not self-seeking. The love, love, love. The greatest of these is love. The challenge that I run into sometimes, I feel like with people, absolutely guilty of this, is somebody will do something to hurt me. We'll use my spouse in this scenario. So Elizabeth does something to hurt me. And instead of immediately at that moment, or maybe a little moment later, I might say, hey, babe, you know, you said such and such, or you did such and such. That really hurt. That's one option. It seems like most of the other options that I do, even as verbal as I've declared that I am, I mentally make a note of it. And I keep, like Corinthians talks about, I keep that record of wrong.
Yeah.
Almost like a ledger.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, on March 18th, you did such and such and such. And then I start to build, like you're talking about, that resentment. And then it seems like over time, I'm now then like, well, I'm done, or I'm tired.
Yeah.
Or maybe I'm not done, or like leading towards that divorce moment, but then I treat her poorly.
Right.
I don't treat her the queen that she is. Right. And I said queen that time, not clean. Treat her like the queen that she should be.
Yeah.
And I think the most haunting thing I've ever heard in church settings involving marriage, and it still to this day almost brings me to a weeping moment, is that's God's daughter.
Yeah.
That's not Rick's and Christine's daughter.
Yeah.
My in-law. It's not their daughter. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Ultimately, it's God's daughter.
Yeah.
And God's going to ask me to give an account on how I treated his daughter.
Mm.
And to me, I don't want to stand there on that day of judgment outside of hatred towards all things Duke. You know, after that, he's probably going to say, how'd you treat God's daughter? He might do it before. But you know what I'm saying? Like, there's going to be an accounting. And my friends, my daughter, all those involved are looking at my marriage, whether I know it or not. And they're going to probably ask that same question. Wait, isn't that God's daughter? And that's the way you're talking to her, Neil? Wait, isn't that God's daughter? And that's the way you're treating her? Wait, isn't that God's daughter? And that's the way you're addressing her in public? What? What's your response to that?
So good. Oh my, so good. I can so relate to that. Same. My challenge on that is, if we believed the best about our spouse at all times, if you believed Elizabeth loves me deeply and would never purposely hurt me, you interpret whatever she did or said in a totally different way. And same for me, Rusty loves me deeply, would never do anything to hurt me. I can forgive that so much easier and like, oh, he must have had a bad day. Oh, he must be in a bad mood or something like that, and walk away clean. It's when my thoughts turn to, I can't believe he did that. He thinks did. And I just go down this terrible dark road of lies. I wonder who would want to do that to me, take my mind to that place and pit me against my spouse. Probably the enemy. And we allow that to happen. And so my job as a coach is to come in and hear you tell that story and say, so do you think Elizabeth is out to get you? Does she hate your guts and want to stick it to you every chance she gets? And you would say, no. She's not like that at all. Okay, wonderful. Then let's switch that story that's playing in your mind, because it's taking you down that dark road that you don't want to go down. It's not serving you. Those thoughts, we've got to examine our thoughts and say, is this thought taking me where I want to go? And if it's not bringing you together with your spouse and drawing you closer to the Lord, no go. Trash it.
Yeah, shift delete that, as I often say. Because when you shift delete something, at least on PCs, which most people I think still have, it goes away. It's gone forever. Max is a little harder. You have to drag it over to the trash. It's a little more cumbersome. You know, my thought is that maybe it's time that some people, maybe myself included, take some of those thoughts and drag them to the trash. Drag them where they belong.
Exactly.
Stop dragging it around with you and drag it to the trash. Well, Christy, help us with this. You've kind of alluded to the fact that you're a coach. Sort of. I mean, it might have come up a few times. We didn't like have a coach counter every time you said it. We don't have that. I mean, it might be It might be 17. It might be 27. My wife's the accountant. I'm not. Point is if people are hearing you right now and they're like, you know what? Much like our car needs to go in for service. Maybe my marriage needs to go in for service. Maybe my check engine light's on. Maybe there's this weird vibration in my car. Maybe there's this weird smell because my kid spilled something and I don't know what that smell is. Either way, it needs to go in for service and get addressed. How can you help people? What's the best way somebody could reach out and say, I want to kind of know a little more about what you're doing because my check engine light's on and I'm a little freaked out right now.
Wow. That's such a great example. But you don't want to wait until you've got thousands of dollars worth of work on your car. You want to go ahead and get the oil changed and do the things as they come up. I coach with women who are at the beginning, like just some minor annoyances, right? I coached a gal today that's just been married for a year. She's happy. Just in that place where how do we adjust to this, all the way through to those who are maybe already separated. Maybe their husband has another woman, so they're in crisis. So any of those women are welcome to reach out to me. And they can go to my website. It's relationshipswithamap.com. Or they can find me on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Relationships with a Map. And I do private one-on-one coaching. I do some group coaching. I do workshops. So if you've got a group of ladies, maybe from your church or something like that, I would love to come and speak or do something over Zoom. It's a passion. The thing I love about it is that it's different than therapy. You might go in and talk to your therapist about what's happening in your marriage. My husband and I did that. And you know what happened? He complained about me for 30 minutes and then I complained about him for 30 minutes and we both went home ticked off. So with coaching, it's not as much about hashing everything that's gone on. It's about where are you right now and how can we get you to where you want to be faster than you could do it on your own. So we take action.
Well, and coaching to me is more encouraging. Therapy, I've been through it. Listen, I know those are great people. Mm-hmm. I had a great therapist. Sometimes it does turn into that. It turns into this, woe is me. And you just stay in the cycle and you tell the same story 700 million times. Coaching, I feel like, is a different element. It's a different animal altogether. There's more action steps. Mm-hmm. There is more action oriented. Mm-hmm. So again, if you're stuck in that spot and you're hitting that moment and you're like, ah, this car is doing weird stuff, AKA your marriage is doing weird stuff, you're the gal to talk to. And even though you're in UK, we'll not hold that against you. So we'll just slide Cats, on over Cats. From that. Go Cats. Oh, all right. Well, Christy, help us with this. I know you've been on a number of shows. You shared that with us in the green room / blue room because it's really a blue room, not a green room. Has anybody played a game with you thus far?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Well, we're going to play a game. It's called the fastest growing game in the podcast community. It's called Heel Hustle. And our guy, Zach, is going to tell us all about this. So, Zach, take it away.
It's now that time in the show to play the fastest growing game in the podcast world. We call it Heel Hustle. Today, our guests will try to answer all six of these questions in 60 seconds or less to win a prize from our prize closet. Audience, feel free to play at home. Let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Ready, set, hustle!
The game begins in 3, 2, 1.
All right, Christy, here you go. 60 seconds. One person you would trade places with for a week.
Princess Kate.
Okay. Guilty pleasure.
Food, ice cream in bed with Netflix.
Wow, that's very specific. Best compliment you've ever received.
They said I looked like Kelly Ripa.
Okay, I can see it. Worst piece of advice. Advice now.
That marriage should be 50-50.
Okay. What is something you wish you were better at?
Athletics.
Okay. What's something that never fails to make you laugh? Hurry!
Never fails to make me laugh. TikTok.
Nice job. Well done. Just at the
that
buzzer.
Was so much pressure.
I've heard that. I haven't done it myself, but, you know, I have heard that. Christy, thank you so much for coming on today. We really appreciate you and what you shared, all the things that you gave. And I hope I was somewhat of a willing participant to some of your coaching, because I feel like we got a little coaching, which is okay. I was okay with that. Also got a little bit of you in your story. I'm going to give you the last word here. Marriage to you is what?
Ooh, marriage to me is a partnership where each person makes the other one better. I'm better because of him and he's better because of me.
Thank you so much for being here today. We really appreciate, again, all that you shared, all that you gave. We really value that. So thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a ton of fun.
Marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Okay. Come on. That was funny. Princess Bride. Come on. No one? I remember that 21-year-old Neil running up and down the hallway in the youth room. The pastor coming up to me half an hour before the marriage. Hey, how many people did you guys invite? I was like 300, 400 people, pastor. He's like, well, there's only like 12 people downstairs. So I was crushed. I was absolutely crushed. And then I got down there and it's like wall-to-wall people. Then something happened. Those doors opened in the back of the church and she stepped through with her dad. The veil over her face, and she made her way down to me. My friends next to me, her friends on the other side. Her dress, oh my gosh, she looked gorgeous. She looks absolutely gorgeous in her dress. I actually have a picture of her in the wedding dress on my phone as my background. So I'm wondering about this for you today. When you think of marriage, what comes to mind? Some of you, it's like a Freddy Krueger movie. It's Nightmare on Elm Street. Some of you, maybe it is Hallmark. And some of you maybe are in between. So my question to you as we go today is this. How can you get better at being married? What can you do to spark it again? Let me know. I have some ideas. Love to hear yours too. Let me know. You can let me know at opspodcast.com. It's a great place to let me know. You can let me know on the socials. We're there too. Yep. OPS Podcast Show under Facebook, Instagram, and X. And before we go, don't forget this. This is super important. It's not marriage advice, but it is super important. Remember this. Remember, when you walk in other people's shoes, you really do get a different perspective on life. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned till next week when, guess what? We walk in other people's shoes.